This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, it's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, no. This is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
Hey, we are back. Welcome to This is Gross. Episode 20-something. I'm not sure. This episode is with Greg Olson, tight end extraordinaire for the Panthers. I recorded it in the Panthers studio where I do most of these. And you'll know that it's seriously unedited because some random guy from the stadium walked in during the middle of the conversation. And we had to address that. But Greg, I've held off on having on the show for quite a while because I knew it would be a home run. And he did not disappoint. So, without further ado, here he is, number 88, tight end, Greg Olson. Peace.
I don't know if you wear sweet beats either.
You got to put your headphones on so you can hear me. Oh. Wait, how'd it go again?
What up?
No?
Yeah, we're on.
We're on? We're recording?
Yeah. As you've know, if you've listened, you know.
That we just start?
Well, that keeps it informal.
Okay. I like it.
You said something that hurt me, cut me deep.
Whoa.
In the hot tub, in the cold tub earlier.
We're starting deep.
You said that I only picked you today because you are just, I didn't have anyone else to do.
It's true.
It's not true.
They said you asked buyers first.
I didn't ask buyers. Buyers is, there's a list in my head. Okay?
Where am I on the list?
You've been on the list since whenever I started this thing, like last June or May.
Okay.
Because I wanted to save it for a peak time.
Three-game winning streak.
When there's a when the fandemonium is high.
Right.
And people are Panther crazy, and they need to hear from one of the best players on the team.
I'll take that.
I mean, I've already done Cam. I've done Steve. I've done D'Angelo. I mean, tons.
So you got to like the 17th best player.
No,
and
so
it was time.
No, but those guys weren't saved for this time of the year. It was you, Greg Olson.
Well, I appreciate that, Jordan Gross.
And you said that you were nervous that you were going to steal the show.
I would never steal the show from you, but I am kind of nervous I'm going to steal the show from you.
Well, let's see. Okay. You can lead. Have you heard of these? Have you heard this?
I've listened to a fair
Which
amount.
Ones have you listened to?
The one where Piggy called me a know-it-all. and then you co-signed.
Let's discuss that.
Would
right
you like
now.
I'd love to discuss that. I've actually
been
waiting.
We said a know-it-all. Not admit that they know everything, but a big mouth admits that they're a big mouth.
So my take on a know-it-all is a know-it-all, the phrase know-it-all means you really don't know anything, but you pretend you do. I think if you pretend you know it all, but you happen to be right a good amount of the time, you're not a know-it-all, you just happen to know a lot.
So you're a know-a-lot.
I'm a know-a-lotter.
But you're not a know-it-all.
No, because know-it-all is really just saying you know nothing.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is. Like a know-it-all is like, oh, that's that guy that just has to chime in because he thinks he knows everything. But if you're right, people go, oh, well, he's right. So he should chime in so that the information is correct.
But you've been pegged a know-it-all.
Incorrectly.
Because you know you're not a know-it-all.
But the times that people call me a know-it-all, I happen to be right. There's a phrase known as there's a lot of value in being correct.
Okay.
That I try to abide by. And most of the time when I speak up in voice, I'm pretty much right. If I was wrong, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't get involved in the conversation. So therefore,
when does that happen? There hasn't been that yet.
I happen to know a lot. That's what I said. I'm a know-a-lotter.
Is this from like your education or your upbringing with your parents?
No, I don't know a lot. I'm joking. But a lot of the things that get written or talked about around here are topics that appeal to
you. You do a lot of reading on your phone, though, and staying up to date on current things.
Try to.
Current things.
I feel like being educated and aware of what's going on in this country and this world and this team and this room with just me and
profession.
You. I feel like that carries a lot of weight.
So, like, right now, if there was a trivia contest was to break out, you're going to take Greg Olson over Jordan.
If Trivial Pursuit happened right now, I think I'd fill up my spokes faster than anyone else.
One thing I do think you're not very good at.
Radio? Radio?
No, you're good at radio. You definitely have a face for TV.
Face for radio.
But a radio voice. This training camp, okay?
Yep.
We had a little bit of free time.
We did.
Between meetings and practice and whatnot.
Right.
And you and Khalil,
I know where this
versus
is going.
Me and Hangardner in Top Spin Tennis 4 became, before he got released, and last year became quite the matchup.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember what was the final
record? Guys won like 3-2.
No, Greg. It was like 18-0, top spin tennis.
Yeah, I would say looking back on my life that's probably not one of the things I'd hang my hat on is if my survival in this world based on top spin tennis, I'd be out pretty
early. It got so awkward because you'd get so mad at Khalil for not covering your back when he was like Roddick and you'd be Federer.
I was the tall redhead guy.
Boris Becker. Because you think you're a net ninja.
I am a net ninja.
And then Khalil wouldn't cover you, but you wouldn't take like your half of the court.
I was very undisciplined. I would say a lot of the losses fell on my shoulders because my doubles tennis discipline was low.
But you said that you and Khalil would beat me and Hangartner in real doubles tennis. But Khalil's horrendous. Yeah. Khalil couldn't beat a baby in tennis.
Yeah, so terrible. I don't know if I can go on a limb. I've actually played a little bit of tennis.
Yeah.
And a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm probably not as good as your wife.
She plays.
Dana's
she's
really good.
She's near professional.
Yeah, she's borderline professional.
Well, she's got two kids in school, and I'm gone during the day, so she gets her tennis game.
I respect it. I'm not that good.
You should challenge her.
Well, then I can't keep saying that I'm good, because then everyone will find
out
I'm not that good.
I would put you as probably the best, just like introduced to a new sport or whatever athlete. I'm going Greg Olsen over anybody. Like, hey, today
Thanks.
We're going to do windsurfing.
Ooh.
Today we're going to do parapet.
But remember
gliding.
The last time you introduced me to a new sport? I was average at wake surfing.
Yeah, but I don't feel like you were like that into it.
I was into it. It was hard.
On Lake Wylie behind my boat, the Wind Monday. Wake surfing.
It was tough.
Well, you
again, your wife was the best.
She was the best at that. But you tried to muscle it too much.
I did.
More of like a go.
Once I got going, I was better. I had a nice ride that one time.
Yeah, you did. You hung 10.
We got to do that again sometime.
We'll get out there. Well, if you could ever not have infants, then we could increase.
As bad as I am at top spin tennis, I'm the opposite, complete opposite of how good I am at having children.
Yes. If you and Kara high five, then there's a baby.
Pregnant. She is, yeah, we're good at that.
Let's talk about that.
I
wrote you a note one time.
You did? Let me just say, one of the nicest, and this is a serious comment.
Wow.
One of the nicest, most genuine, memorable notes ever from a fellow friend / teammate / colleague.
Ever?
Ever in my life.
The handwritten note is a thing
of the past.
Says
a lot. No one does it anymore.
And I have my own stationery.
Which was a great touch.
I felt like, man, because I kind of try to think about, like, what is, like, some things that, like, you'd like your kids to see you do
right.
And be like, man, you know, my dad was quite the guy. So I got some stationery made, which is like a card.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is. I have it.
And
I saved it.
I've sent a few people, only on, yours not a thick, there's not a long list of this. But what happened was we went to your fundraiser out at Coyote Joe's.
Yep.
Billy Currington concert and Uncle Cracker, which was the best fundraiser I've ever been to.
Thank you.
Let alone led by a teammate, but
Thank you. It was awesome.
We had a blast. We ended up singing Good Directions, me and Byron Bell swaying back and forth in the middle of the crowd.
Making memories.
It was outstanding.
Yep.
But I just thought, man, you don't have to do all that, and you do a lot, you know, and it all started with TJ and all that. But anyway, so I thought you need to get a little pat on the back. So I'm glad it helped.
And it was a pat that was fully embraced.
Was there a tear?
In the privacy of my own soul, yeah.
In your soul,
in my soul there
cried.
Was my soul cried. And that's more powerful than eyes crying.
Okay, so when your son and daughter were born,
right?
It was October
of 2012.
Okay. Let's just say having a baby is exhausting.
Yep.
Let's just say being in the season is exhausting. Let's say having twins, I can imagine, is debilitatingly exhausting, and then let's go ahead and throw in some heart surgeries and all-nighters at the hospital.
Just for some sprinkles.
There's no, God, you know, I heard a saying that God chooses his toughest soldiers for his hardest battles, right?
I like that.
Amen to that, because your energy level on a daily basis is a 50 out of 10.
Thank you.
And there's no one else that could have handled that with just the ease and stay-withedness that you did.
Well, we appreciate that. It wasn't easy, obviously. The beginning, we had a lot of negative pity party for ourselves, but then we eventually kind of...
Easily granted.
Yeah, and then after a couple weeks of that, we kind of looked at each other and said, hey, listen, this baby's coming regardless.
Babies.
Babies, but especially the little guy, but yeah, Both of them were coming.
Right. And you had your other son who was like
16 months old. So at the end of the day, we were being dealt this situation regardless of how we decided to handle it.
What was your tiredness level on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being in the hospital for exhaustion? What were you?
I was by the end of each week, I wasn't in the hospital, so I was probably a 9.
Yes.
Let me just say this. I looked forward to, and bless my wife's heart when she listens to this. She probably already knows this, but I'm sorry. I looked forward to the games that weekend because I could sleep in the hotel and
the
get
one
a decent
morning.
Sleep. Yeah.
And that had to catapult you through. So how did you feel? Because I feel this way, and my kids are even older now and healthy, but you're busy all the time. And you'll see like a young single guy, and he's like sleeping in meetings. And all he does in the evening is like video. His whole day revolves around him.
No doubt.
There's nothing else. And you had baby one in hospital, one baby at home, and then another not even two-year-old. You had a full plate, but the other guys are tired. They're young. They stayed up late playing Xbox, you know?
You know, at the time, like when I was in it, I was like, man, you guys don't know what tired means.
Yeah.
But to be fair, when I was that guy only 3 years ago, not that long ago, I was that guy who like, man, I'm so tired at the end of the day. Because, you know, you only know the situation that you're in at the time. It's hard to have perspective. That's why I try to tell these young guys, especially the young married guys, do it up, man. Enjoy it. Take your wife to dinner. Go out. When we have Friday nights, go to dinner. Go try new restaurants. Go. Yeah. Just go. Because trust me, if kids are in your future, take advantage of it. I wish someone would have said that to me earlier than I found out myself, you know?
But
that's what I
try to. You do get your fill of Chuck E. Cheese and Red Robin, though, once you have kids.
Oh, yeah. Your eating goes way down. I have stock in Brooklyn Pizza right now.
you're on the
shameless plug. I'm just kidding.
Speed dial.
Oh
right?
Man, we do lots of pizza in our house, and but it's fun.
You also take pride in. I feel like this is kind of like a come clean session of all the good things I think about you.
Man,
but
I feel like I'm not doing this.
No, you're doing it right. But you are a tight end who does not like to come off the field. And you'll let us know how hard you work and how many reps you get. And you'll make sure everybody knows how many games in a row you've started, which is
101.
Right.
But
okay,
counting?
But who's counting?
But who's counting?
But who's
I'm
counting?
Not counting.
Yeah, you don't know the number.
I don't know the
Let's
stats.
Just say
I don't know that it started in 2007.
Right.
After I missed my first two games.
That's irrelevant.
That's irrelevant.
You don't know. And in practice, you'll, out of one side of your mouth, complain how many reps you're getting. And then on the other side of your mouth, when the coach asks you if you want to take a break, you'll say no.
True.
But then you complain to us.
True.
Okay. Anyways, you don't come off the field. And the tight end position in the NFL anymore has become extremely specialized. It's either you're a blocker, basically a lineman with a eligible number,
right,
or you're split out and you're a receiver.
Yep.
I mean, there's not too many of those remaining.
I think that's fair.
Right.
I think that's fair.
You take a lot of pride in being that guy.
I do, and by no means do I think that I do all aspects outstanding.
Yeah.
I by no means live in a distorted reality, but I do take a lot of pride in being on the field and having to do whatever's called. And I think that adds an entirely different dynamic to especially the pass-catching guys, because if in between when the ball's thrown to you, if you get to like stand on the sideline and catch your breath and
hydrate,
have a drink while the other guys are blocking power and pass, it's time for me to catch the ball again, onto the field and run a sweet route. Like, yeah, are those guys extremely talented? Of course, but I'd like to catch my breath for five plays before my next pass play,
too. But if they asked you to do that, you would.
I'd be pissed. I got taken out by Hartsock last week, and if it was anybody other than Hartsock, I would have been mad.
Well, Hartsock, as we know, is an underappreciated tight end.
Way underappreciated.
Well.
You want to talk about a guy who has a true value?
Yeah.
But I call it the phase out.
Yeah.
So when we came up with that, I called it the phase out.
But he's older than you.
Yeah.
How can they be phasing?
Because it was
you?
Still just a little fun.
They're not going to phase you out to someone slower and older. That's counterproductive to what a normal phase out is. We just had a random person come in.
That squeaking just shows
the
Panthers haven't WD-40'd their joints in a
while. The squeaking you just heard was not a Halloween ghoul.
No, it was.
It was a maintenance.
Every door, you can't sneak into any room in this building because every door hinge is. When this stadium was built, hasn't been greased since.
It's 20 years old.
If you're late for a meeting, there's no sneaking in the back here.
Zero.
It announces your presence.
I also want to come clean about an issue that still has yet to be resolved.
Okay.
two off seasons ago, the friend of ours got married.
This burns.
Jeff Hanger.
You don't even have to go. I know exactly where you're
and
going.
And
can I present the story to the crowd and we'll let them see how it feels?
It's not my show. It's, all right, your, so it's about you. Go ahead.
Not to jump the host. Okay,
no,
so just
ahead.
So the story gets told correctly. So there's a group of guys, and since you've been here, we'll just say the guy. It's not me. It's just a general story. We'll see how people feel. You're new to a team. These other guys have been on the team for a couple years, mostly their whole careers. You know, you kind of fit in with them. You start feeling like you're one of the four. There's only four.
What, including this person, there's four? Or is there four plus the person?
No, including. Okay. Four on the team. Four. Okay. There's four now. There was three, now you're four.
Okay, got it.
And you feel like you're part of it.
Well, not you,
the
someone. Guys,
someone. This person, yeah, this is a hypothetical part. You.
Okay.
And you feel like you're kind of starting to get in with them. You play a whole season. Things are, you know, you have a good time, yada, yada, yada. You find out your buddy's getting married. Who you think is your buddy is getting married.
Right.
Man, you're happy for him. What is the first thing you think of when your buddy gets married? Where's the bachelor party?
Right.
It's your one, hey, sweetie, I have to go. John Jones, he's counting on me to go, and he's getting married. And you know when we got married, all of our buddies went. You just have to do it. Okay, fine.
And even
yeah,
the older, and also like
have
the,
to go.
The 30-year-old bachelor party
is even more special.
It's just fellowship. It's
no doubt.
Golf.
Yeah, it's not. We're not going
it's
to
not
Vegas.
Debauchery.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, but that's a good point.
Okay, go ahead.
So you find out these three unnamed players have planned a trip to the Keys,
Florida Keys,
Florida Keys, the only Keys, right. For a weekend of golf.
Yep.
Jimmy Buffett bars.
Yep.
Tommy Bahama shirts,
deep
karaoke,
sea
deep sea fishing, amazing
jet
dinner, jet skis, and just an all that's just a
house rental on the water.
Yeah, so average trip. Then you're kind of that guy, right? You're waiting to be asked to like the eighth grade dance and you just think it's coming.
Right.
And then the day's getting closer. And the day's getting closer. And you then just give like the oh hey guys, I didn't want to go. Like, in like you're mad, but you don't want to be that mad. And then you get the worst thing of all, the pity. Oh, you want to come? You can come. And I don't do
I'm
pity.
I'm just
invites.
Glad that that didn't happen to you.
No, because I would have been mad. And I would have hoped that you wouldn't be the guy that planned
I'm
it.
I'm glad that I wasn't the guy who got married, Jeff Hangartner, because he's the one who set the invite list. And
but
I
who was the guy who executed the weekend? Do you know who that was?
I was.
I think it was,
I was.
The host of This Is Gross.
I was. And
okay.
I. But
I'm just making sure we're clear.
I'm just... All I can say at this point is that I'm sorry because it was a
as you
huge
can tell
oversight.
I'm over it. As you can tell I'm over it. As
but,
you can tell I'm over
but
it.
But I didn't want the term I didn't want to go and sorry to bother you has become as widespread in this locker room as hello how are you
no.
And nice to see you.
And I would say when I'm done here at the Panthers that would probably be my biggest claim to fame is that I had that impact on the team.
Well, I'm sorry about the bachelor party trip and it
but
was
I didn't
awesome,
want to go anyway.
You know, you didn't want
but I didn't
sorry
want
to
go.
Bother you.
But don't worry, that weekend I got to take our third friend, Ryan Cleal. Don't worry, I got to take him and his daughter and my wife and my
no,
son.
No, not him. He was on the trip.
His wife and daughter, I took them to dinner, so don't
with
worry.
Your wife
while you guys son. Were out, I took care of his family.
But then we,
had, well.
We for sure didn't send you a photo of your favorite bar and restaurant
no.
in Key West.
No, that didn't
We didn't
happen.
Send you that.
And I hate karaoke, so I wouldn't have been any fun at that. And I don't have any Tama Bahama button downs, and I hate deep sea fishing.
You know a lot of songs, too. We have a game that we play, some, I don't know if you know about it or not, is who can get Olsen to sing a song the quickest sometimes
doesn't so, take long
no if we pick any country song or like 90s rap boom you can belt it out I'm winning that game like 20
yeah, you're good at
six
it. Yeah you're good
well
at
I can
it.
Sing pretty well too
yeah I've seen you do karaoke
but yeah I'm pretty good
yeah and you're pretty good
you're not bad yourself
I feel like we'd be a good duet
well
what would we sing
next time there's a but all my friends are all our friends are married
true
part of the reason that we might
the
not
next have, time some of our friends get married we'll go
together part of the reason you might not have gotten married is because there was a certain stigma about you when you got here that Khalil and I both thought you were a jerk and we didn't even know you
another thing that
I based it 100% on your mugshot from the Bears because you were a tough
which
guy.
Makes complete sense.
And I said, this guy's a jerk. I just
and,
did it like that.
Yeah, and Khalil bases it off of a phantom blow-off at the Combine, which I'm convinced did not happen. So you talk about judging books before. I
he
walk in here.
You,
I get traded. Here I come, walking into training camp, Wofford University.
You're mean mugging the team.
No,
bro.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm like, man,
crossed.
I hope these guys are going to like me. I don't know anyone
no,
other than the
crossed,
Bears. I walk in.
Brow
here
down.
Comes the the king leaders of the team, always the O-line, led by Jordan Gross, perennial Pro Bowler, Ryan Khalil, franchise perennial Pro Bowler. Hey, what's up?
No.
Okay, hey, nice to meet you guys.
No, but that's you're tainted how... because the O-line was like the mean guys in Chicago. When
yeah,
you were
true.
The
older,
but
true.
Here, we're not, but we all thought, I thought you were a jerk because of your mugshot. I'm not going to lie. But
was
that's
it that
what,
bad of a picture?
Well, it was like the... tough
it was
guy.
Like I'm trying to be
he
a
had
tough
the long
guy.
Hair yeah. And you know,
yeah, I can see that.
But that just shows you when you assume something.
True, you know what happens,
right?
You, this is a PG program, but we know
it,
what it means.
I think the listeners know what happens.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because I know you're busy. You probably have 5 to 10 screaming babies at your house right now.
By now, I don't know how many wife how many children my wife has.
And just a plug for your wife, Kara. God love her.
She's a stud.
She does. One heck of a job.
She not only has 3 children, 2 dogs.
Yeah,
she's married to me,
and she'll gang up on you with me at
oh,
any
she
dinner
won't
we go to.
100%.
And that just that wins me over.
Yeah.
So
that's for sure.
Get home, go to bed. Well, don't go to bed. Get home, do your dad duties.
Yep.
And I'll see you tonight at the Halloween party.
And we got something something fun in store.
Yes, we do.
We'll just leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that. Maybe I'll do a follow up tweet. See you, buddy.
I like it.
Thanks.
That was fun. See ya.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.